Welcome to Zichud Daf Sin Manu Me'amar Avram Goldhar, and today we're on Seches Psachim Daf Kuf Yud, the 10th Perek Arvei Psachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara introduced the concept of zugos, of pairs, that one should not do certain activities such as eating or drinking in pairs. This means that one should not eat an even number of the same food or an even number of the same beverage. Rabbeinu Bakir writes that the avoidance of pairs is a concrete expression of a rejection of dualism, the heretical belief that there are two deities. Eating in pairs enables demons or sorceresses to harm a person. The Gemara there on Daf Kuf Tes brings three answers as to how the Rabban could have instituted drinking four cups of wine on Seder night, being that four is an even number. On our Daf, Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna were leaning, and both said, Shalom Motovu Mitzdarif, L'ra Lo Mitzdarif. Shalom, meaning the seventh cup, which corresponds to the seventh word in the last bracha of Birkas Kohanim, combines with the other six cups he drank for good, but does not combine with drinking an eighth cup for bad. Therefore, there's no danger in drinking eight cups. The Rashbam explains that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to convey his brachos to the Jewish people through the seventh word, Shalom, no harm in the world can come of it. The Gemara brings Rabba and Rabbi Yosef who applied the fifth word of the middle bracha, B'chunaka, the same way, and that therefore there's no harm when drinking six cups. And then Abai and Rabba applied the third word, Vishmarecha, in the first bracha similarly, and that there's therefore no harm in drinking four cups. The Rosh Hashanah explains that as the harmful effects of zugos diminish from generation to generation, the Rabban ruled more leniently. Point number two, toward the end of its discussion of zugos, the Gemara teaches a general rule, called the kapit kapti bade, udo kapit lo kapti bade. Regarding any person who's particular about this issue, the demons are particular with him, but with regard to someone who's not particular, they are not particular with him. But one should nevertheless be mindful. The Rashbam explains that demons will only be particular to harm someone who's overly concerned with the issue of zugos, but even someone who's not particular about the issue should take basic precautions. And point number three, in addition to the danger from mazikin, from the demons, literally the damagers, that zugos poses, they also expose a person to the danger from kshafim, sorcery. The Gemara teaches that while the even numbers of pairs, such as 10, 8, 6, and 4, are safe nowadays with respect to mazikin, these numbers and even higher numbers are still dangerous with respect to kshafim. The Gemara illustrates this with the story of a woman who performed sorcery on her ex-husband whenever he would drink wine in her second husband's store. Her efforts were usually unsuccessful because he made sure not to drink zugos. But one time, when he lost track after drinking 16 cups, he drank an even number of cups, and her sorcery caused him to burst. So once again, the three points are number one. On Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara introduced the concept of zugos, pairs, that one should not do certain activities, such as eating or drinking, in pairs. This means that one should not eat an even number of the same food or an even number of the same beverage. Rabbeinu Bakir writes that the avoidance of pairs is a concrete expression of a rejection of dualism, the heretical belief that there are two deities. Eating in pairs enables demons or sorceresses to harm a person. The Gemara there on Daf Kuf Tes brings three answers as to how the Rabban could have instituted drinking four cups of wine on Seder night, being that four is an even number. So on our Daf, Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna were lenient, and both said, Shom l'tovu mitzdarif, l'ra lo mitzdarif. Shom, meaning the seventh cup, which corresponds to the seventh word in the last bracha of Birkas Kohanim, combines with the other six cups he drank for good, but does not combine with drinking an eighth cup for bad. Therefore, there is no danger in drinking eight cups. The Rashbam explains that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to convey his brachos to the Jewish people through the seventh word shalom, no harm in the world can come of it. The Gemara brings Rabba and Rav Yosef apply the fifth word of the middle bracha, b'chunaka, the same way, and that therefore there's no harm when drinking six cups. And then Abai and Rabba apply the third word, b'shmarecha, in the first bracha similarly, and that there is therefore no harm in drinking four cups. The Rashbam explains that as the harmful effects of zugos diminished from generation to generation, the Rabban ruled more leniently. Point number two, toward the end of its discussion of zugos, the Gemara teaches a general rule called the kapit kapti ba'day, udo kapit lo kapti ba'day. Regarding any person who's particular about this issue, the demons are particular with him, but regarding someone who's not particular, they are not particular with him. But one should nevertheless be mindful. The Rashbam explains that demons will only be particular to harm someone who's overly concerned with the issue of zugos, but even someone who's not particular about the issue should take basic precautions. And point number three, in addition to the danger of a mazikin from demons, literally damagers, that zugos poses, they also expose a person to danger from kshafim, sorcery. The Gemara teaches that while the even numbers of pairs, such as 10, 8, 6, and 4, are safe nowadays with respect to mazikin, these numbers, and even higher numbers, are still dangerous with respect to kshafim. The Gemara illustrates this with the story of a woman who performed sorcery on her ex-husband whenever he would drink wine in her second husband's store. Her efforts were usually unsuccessful because he made sure not to drink zugos. But one time, when he lost track after drinking 16 cups, he drank an even number of cups, and her sorcery caused him to burst. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Daf Kuf Yud, and the Siman is a key, but we use a gold key ceremony. It's an award ceremony with a gold key. So here we go. While the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mezikin as Birkos Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes who got carried away and drank 18 cups were in for a sorcerer's surprise. Once again, slow motion. While the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony, that must be Ron Duff, Kuf Yud. While the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mezikin as Birkos Kohanim was recited, which reminds us, on Duff Kuf Tess, on basic Gemara introduced the concept of zugos, pairs, that one should not do certain activities such as eating or drinking in pairs. This means that one should not eat an even number of the same food or an even number of the same beverage. Rabbeinu Bakhi writes that the avoidance of pairs is a concrete expression of our rejection of dualism, the heretical belief that there are two deities. Eating in pairs enables demons or sorceresses to harm a person. On our Daf, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna were leaning and both said, Shalom wa tova mitzarf, l'ra wa mitzarf. Shalom, meaning the seventh cup, which corresponds to the seventh word in the last bracha of Birkos Kohanim, combines with the other six cups he drank for good, but does not combine with drinking an eighth cup for bad. Therefore, there is no danger in drinking eight cups. The Rashbam explains that since the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to convey his brachas to the Jewish people through the seventh word, Shalom, no harm in the world can come of it. The Gemara brings Rabba and Rav Yosef apply the fifth word of the middle bracha, v'chunekha, the same way, and that therefore there's no harm in drinking six cups. And then Abai and Rabba apply the third word, v'shmerecha, in the first bracha, similarly, and that there is therefore no harm in drinking four cups. The Rashbam explains that as the harmful effects of zugos diminished from generation to generation, the Rabban ruled more leniently. So while the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mezikin as Birkos Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes, which reminds us that the Gemara presents the general rule that demons will only be particular to harm someone who's overly concerned with the issue of zugos, but even someone who's not particular about the issue should take basic precaution. So while the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mezikin as Birkos Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes who got carried away and drank 18 cups were in for a sorcerer's surprise. Which reminds us, in addition to the danger from Mezikin, demons, that zugos poses, they also expose a person to danger from kshafim, sorcery. The Gemara teaches that while even numbers of pairs such as 10, 8, 6, and 4 are safe nowadays with respect to Mezikin, these numbers and even higher numbers are still dangerous with respect to kshafim. The Gemara illustrates with the story of the woman who performed sorcery on her ex-husband whenever he would drink wine in her second husband's store. Her efforts were usually unsuccessful because he made sure not to drink zugos. But one time when he lost track after drinking 16 cups, he drank an even number of cups and her sorcery caused him to burst. So once again, while the guests drinking four cups of wine at the double gold key ceremony were protected from Mezikin as Birkos Kohanim was recited, the table of demon phobes who got carried away and drank 18 cups were in for a sorcerer's surprise. All right, now it's time for four Baba Chazara. Daf Kufvav. So the Simmer Daf Kufvav is a tightrope walker walking on a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker, whose act featured making Kiddush Rabbah on the high wire and then staying there until Tuesday afternoon to make Havdalah, got booed by the crowd when he messed up one time and tasted the food before making Kiddush. Once again in slow motion. The tightrope walker, that must be Ron Duff, Kuf Vav, Kuv, line. The tightrope walker, whose act featured making Kiddush Rabbah on the high wire, which reminds us of the story of Rav Ashi visiting Machoz and trying to figure out what to do when they told him Shabbos day to make Kiddush Rabbah. He ended up dragging out the Borei Pir Gafen to see if anybody would be impatient and drink, and indeed, an elderly man started. Rav Ashi applied to himself the pasuk, Achacham Eina Barosho, the wise man has his eyes in his head, meaning he has foresight. The Rashbam explains that they called it the great Kiddush Rabbah because it's the bracha which is recited whenever Kiddush is recited. So the tightrope walker, whose act featured making Kiddush Rabbah on the high wire and then staying there until Tuesday afternoon to make Havdalah, which reminds the sons of Rabbi Chiya say, Mishu ohiv de la motzi Shabbos mavdi b'holach kol Shabbos kulo. One who did not say Havdalah motzi Shabbos may say Havdalah throughout the following week. Rabbi Zera explained, ad revi b'Shabbos, until the fourth day, meaning up to and not including Tuesday night. So this ruling is similar to a ruling with respect to a get. The first three weekdays are called after Shabbos, and the last three weekdays are called before Shabbos. The Rashbam explains that this would be relevant for someone who gives a get and stipulates that he is given 200 zuz after or before Shabbos. If he said after Shabbos, the get would only be valid if she gives him the money prior to Tuesday night. So the tightrope walker, whose act featured making Kiddush Rabbah on the high wire and then staying there until Tuesday afternoon to make Havdalah, got booed by the crowd when he messed up one time and tasted the food before making Kiddush. Which reminds the Malchokas of one taste of food before making Kiddush or Havdalah. Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav, Tam Einu Mekadosh. After one tasted food, he may not say Kiddush. The Rashbam explains that he should not say Kiddush on Friday night, but he should say it the next day before the meal. This would seem to be a penalty imposed by the Rabbanim for eating prior to Kiddush. Rava says the final halacha is that one does say Kiddush and Havdalah. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the simple Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The lavish couscous dish. Couscous dish? That must mean one Daf Kuf Zayin. The lavish couscous dish prepared for Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given date beer for Havdalah, which reminds us of the incident of a Mamer traveling being given date beer for Havdalah, not wanting to make Havdalah in anything but wine, went to bed fasting. When it happened again the second year, he said, Ihachi chamer medinahu. If so, beer is the wine of the province. He said Havdalah and he tasted some food. Rashbam explains that a Mamer meant that because wine was regularly unavailable there, beer was the local equivalent and therefore suitable for Havdalah. And the Gemara discusses the suitability of several types of beer for Kiddush on Havdalah and brings some incidents about the ill effects that occurred after drinking some date beer. So the lavish couscous dish prepared for Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given date beer for Havdalah and told to make sure he had a cheekful, which reminds us, as a Malchokas, how much wine must be tasted when making a bracha over a kos shel bracha, such as Kiddush, Havdalah, and Birkas Hamazon. The Tanakhama says a kol shu, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says a cheekful, a mali lugma. Another brice is brought that supports the second opinion. So the lavish couscous dish prepared for Malav Malka was not touched by the visiting rabbi who was given date beer for Havdalah and told to make sure he had a cheekful, and who was now in such pain that he couldn't even dream of eating Erev Pesach close to Mincha Katana. Which reminds us, it was a question when the Mishnah said that one should not eat Erev Pesach Samuch Mincha. Was that referring to Mincha Gadol or Mincha Katana? The Gemara explains that this issue revolves around the reason for the prohibition against eating close to Mincha. Is it because a meal and Mincha Gadol could be drawn out and cause a person to not bring the Karban Pesach, which must be brought that afternoon? Or is it because a later meal and Mincha Katana could cause a person to eat the matzah that night in a manner of achila gasa, excessive consumption? And the Rashbam explains that achila gasa is not halachically considered eating. The Gemara proves from a brisa that samach mincha katana tanan. The Mishnah states that one may not eat on Erev Pesach close to mincha katana. Daf Kuf Ches. The simon is a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket. Pickpocket. That must be on Daf Kuf Ches. The pickpocket who reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder. Which reminds us, it was stated that Rav Nachman said the cups of wine at the Seder require Seiva, and it was stated that he said they do not require Seiva. So the Gemara explains that there's no dispute and that they're referring to different cups. Some say the first two require leaning because the Hashtahud the cup is Chalal Acheres, because it's now that freedom begins, meaning the redemption is discussed over those cups. Others say the last two cups require leaning because Hayishaita the Kahav Yacheres. It's at that time that freedom is a reality. The Gemara concludes, Hashtah the Imrahachi the Imrahachi, now that it was stated like this, and it was stated like this. Edi v'edi by his seba, both these two cups and these two cups require his seba. So the pickpocket reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder was disappointed when all he found in the pockets of the reclining son and Talmud, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses who must lean. A woman in the presence of her husband does not need to do a seba, but if she's a prominent woman, she needs leaning. The Rashbam explains that a woman does not typically lean because she's apprehensive in her husband's presence and subservient to him, whereas a prominent woman generally will eat reclining. A son in the presence of his father needs to do a seba. Rashbam explains that a son is not as subservient to a father as a man's wife is to him. And regarding a Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe, Abai said, when we were in the yeshiva of our master, referring to Rabbah, we would lean on each other's knees during the Seder, but when we came to the yeshiva of Rav Yosef, who became the head of the academy after Rabbi, he told us, you don't need to lean for more Rabbah k'mor shamayim. The fear of your Rebbe is like the fear of heaven. So the pickpocket who reclined while drinking the first two cups of wine at the Seder was disappointed when all he found in the pockets of the reclining son and Talmud was a note with a reminder to have a nice cup and to drink most of it. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel teaches several halachas about the dalt kosos, which the Gemara then explains. They must contain enough wine to produce a kos yafa, a nice cup. The Gemara, according to the version preferred by the Rashbam, explains hayin ravis, this is ravis. If you drink them pure, chai, meaning without adding water to the wine, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Rava says yedei yain yatzah, yedei cheres lo yatzah. He fulfilled the mitzvah to drink wine, but he didn't fulfill the obligation to act in a manner that expresses freedom. Rashbam explains that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah completely because wine must be diluted to be considered prominent. Rashbam notes that our wines do not need to be diluted. If he drank them all at once, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Rav says, Yedei yain yatzah, yedei harbakosos lo yatzah. He fulfilled the mitzvah to drink wine, whereas the Rashbam explains that this is the mitzvah of Simchas Yantam, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of dalt kosos. And if he gave his children, the members of his household, to drink from them, he fulfilled his mitzvah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, only if he personally drank most of the cup. Daf Kuf Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Tes is a Hatzalah First Aid Kit. So here goes. Hatzalah prepared a special Keep the Kitties Up for Seder kit. Hatzalah, kit? That must mean we're on Daf Kuftes. Hatzalah prepared a special Keep the Kitties Up for Seder kit packed with parched grain, walnuts, and a matzah grabber, which reminds the Gemara brings different prices on how to keep the children up for the Seder. Rav Yehuda says that we give children klayos ve'egos in parched grain and walnuts so that they'll not sleep and they'll ask questions. Rav Eliezer says, Chotfin matzahs b'leil psachim, we snatch matzahs on the night of Pesach for the benefit of the children so they shouldn't fall asleep. The Rashbam's preferred explanation is that this means that we prevent children from eating too much matzah and becoming drowsy as a result. Alternatively, we remove the Seder plate from the table to prompt the children to ask why. And Rabbi Kiva would tell his Talmidim to stand up only the base of Midrash Erev Pesach so that the Talmidim would go home early to ensure that their children nap during the day or so that they could begin the Seder before the children would go to sleep. He also told them to leave the base of Midrash on Erev Yom Kippur so that the Talmidim should feed their children. So Hatzalah prepared a special Keep the Kitties Up for Seder kit packed with parched grain, walnuts, and a matzah grabber while they gave out to parents free hangers for new clothing, which reminds us that we learn from the pasuk of Vesamachta b'chagecha, a man is obligated to gladden his children and the members of his household on Yontif. How does he gladden them? With wine. Rabbi Yehuda says, Anashim b'ruy lehem, v'nashim b'ruy lehem, men with what's appropriate for them, and women with what's appropriate for them. The Gemara explains that wine is appropriate to gladden men, and Rabbi Yosef explains that new clothing is appropriate to gladden women. In Bavel, it was with colored garments, and in Eretz Yisrael, it was with white pressed linen garments. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, Bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam, ein simcha el bebasar. When the beis hamikdash stands, the mitzvah of rejoicing is fulfilled only to bring an offering and eating its meat. But now that the base of Mikdash does not stand, the mitzvah of rejoicing is fulfilled only through drinking wine. So Hatzalah prepared a special Keep the Kitties Up for Seder kit, packed with parched grain walnuts and a matzah grabber, while they gave out their parents free hangers for new clothing and a custom two fingers reviews measure to be used for the arbikosos. Which reminds us, the Rav Chisda defines the liquid measure of reviz by describing the size of the space that a reviz occupies. Reviz shel Torah etzbaim al etzbaim, barum etzbaim v'chetzi etzba v'chomish etzba. The reviz of the Torah is 2 fingers by 2 fingers, with a height of 2 fingers, half a finger, and a fifth of a finger, or 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzbaos. Rav Chisda derives this from a brisa that teaches that because a mikvah must be able to contain a person's entire body at one time, it must be an amma by an amma with a height of 3 ammos. And the Chachamim determined that an area of that size contains 40 sa. Applying the same ratio, Rav Chisda concluded that an area of 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzba'os contains a reviz. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that when the Mishnah forbids eating close to Mincha Erev Pesach was referring to Mincha Katana, so one does not come to eat the matzah as an Achilas Gasa? That's on Daf Kuf Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that demons typically harm people who are overly concerned about them? That's on Daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn 2 different opinions whether Rav Nachman met the first 2 cups are drunk with Heseva or the last 2 cups are? That's on Daf Kufches. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that one needs to interrupt the meal for Kiddush, but one does not have to interrupt it for Havdalah? That's on Daf Kufhe. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that there are 4 exceptions to the general rule that brachas must contain bark at the beginning and at the end? That's on Daf Kufdalad. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that over time the final words in Birchas Kohanim made it permissible to drink 8, 6, and 4 cups of wine and not be concerned about zugos? That's on Daf Kufyud. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that a Mamer determined that Shechar, date beer, was the Chamra Medina, the place he visited, since wine was not regularly available? That's on Daf Kuvzain. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that Kishuv does work against Zugos, including higher numbers than 10, which is illustrating the story of the sorceress and her ex-husband? That's on Daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn different ways to keep the children up for the Seder by giving them parched grain and walnuts and snatching the matzahs away? That's on Daf Kuf Tes. Good. And number 10. Which of the one the cup must be filled with enough wine to be a kos yafa, which is understood to be a reviz, and one is required to drink most of the cup? That's on Daf Kufches. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one about 6 things which are unbecoming to a Talmud Chacham? That's on Daf Mem Gemel and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we Malchok is about the size of an Amma? That's on Daf Gimel and Erevan. Good. And number 3, which stuff do we discuss bathing on Shabbos? That's on Daf Memon Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.